You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game.
And here we go. Line ball to start this game.
Jeremy Loblotsky and John Morasty teeing off on one another.
And Toporowski is just pounding away at Robinson. We said Toporowski, this is a guy who set a Western Hockey League record for 505 penalty minutes.
Let's call it like it is. Toporowski's a boon.
Getting closer. He reaches in a right. He's out. John Gripson. He's just fought. Stu Gripson. Oh, my goodness. Scott Parker for the KO of Stu Gripson.
This is one of the best hockey fights we have seen in a long time.
Vandenbush tells the linesman, get the heck out of my kitchen.
Ray Victor, he absolutely decked Jim Crane with a wild right.
A sheer stagger by a big left hand by Wade Bieland.
Chris Nyland on a penalty shot. Scores!
Bugard down the wing. Bugard palms away. Score!
Montreal, number 47 for Boston. Those guys, 5 minutes each for fighting!
All right, folks, after we've been rambling on here like a couple schoolgirls for the past couple hours, I brought in the big guns. I'm normally on his show. I probably do his show more than I do my own at this point, but none other than Darren from the Fourth Line Voice. Darren, how you doing tonight?
Hey, man. Good. You, yes, you actually, I think you do my show more than you do your own.
Yeah.
But hey, the tables have turned. Here I am in the Five for Fighting studios.
Yeah,
with your two hellhounds.
Before we got going, Gates and Ranger over there just fucking running amok in here. We got Gates spilling my gallon jug. We got Ranger turning the TV up out in the living room. Just an absolute gong show to start the day off here.
Control your animals.
Yeah, no kidding. Fuck, Gates, that floppy-eared bastard.
Mm-hmm.
But as folks who have followed the podcast on social media and, you know, have been up to the up to date with the social media happenings, this episode is actually going to be about Enforcer Cinema. And I know that, you know, people might know the big ones. And actually, I was telling Darren before we got going here, I actually got this idea from one of his posts. Somebody had commented something. I'm sure it was a fight picture or video that you posted about one of the documentaries. I was like, fuck, you know what? There's a lot of good documentaries out there. And I think there's some sleeper picks that people might not know about. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. There is, you have your big ones, right? That were, on the Netflix and all that stuff.
Right.
But, I think beforehand, there's some VHS classics that, the youngsters might not know about that. I think we can hit them with today.
Yeah, exactly. All the youngins out there. So when we go over this list, folks, basically we're just kind of give you the rundown of what each movie's about. You know, how we liked it, stuff like that. This is in no particular order in terms of ranking. I don't even know how many we have. I just kind of have a list compiled together. And actually, I got to add one more on there that I'm thinking about it. So let me go ahead and do that. But just to be clear, this is in no particular order in terms of, ranking or anything like that. So I will say we will start off the bat with what our favorite ones are anyways. So I will go to Darren first. Darren, what if you had to pick a favorite Enforcer movie documentary of all time, what would you say yours is?
I really, really want to say the Chiefs movie,
mm-hmm.
but I think I'm actually going to say the Tough Guys documentary.
Yeah.
With Voth and Holiday and those guys. I think because at the time it was really cutting edge.
Yeah.
Because no one had really done that before when it came out. And for some reason it came out on the, I don't know why. So it was late one night. It was on like on the Travel Channel, or it was on some weird channel, And it was, and this is like 19, what, like, was it 98, 99?
I think so. I think it was 98, 99, something like that.
Yeah, around there. And and all of a sudden it's like, what is this? And it was like, and of course, it's Mike Clattenburg, the creator of Trailer Park Boys.
Yep.
Is the guy that created this documentary. So before the Trailer Park Boys. Yeah, it was just a documentary in the Central League following these tough guys around. And, that, you know, they had them mic'd up and they were showing fights. And it was just like, and the human side of it. And I was like, well, this is cool as shit. Like, what is this guy? I never knew what it was called. I remember I just saw it one night on, like, the Travel Channel. And then, you know, this is before YouTube.
Yeah.
And before, like, TVR and everything. So it was like, well, I don't know what that was, but okay. And then, like, years later on YouTube, oh, there it is. It shows up on YouTube. Oh, it's called Tough Guys. Oh, okay. Oh, this show. Yeah, this is really good. And watched it again. And I think it's on Paul's channel, the UK channel now. But, yeah, I think that one was probably, I don't know, maybe it's just because the first one I saw like that, I guess. I don't know. Like, obviously, you know, Last Gliding, Ice Guardian. I mean, that's all 4K and all high def and
right.
All this high tech shit. I mean, I think I just like the Tough Guys one just because it's so gritty and, you know, back in the day with probably camcorders and, you know, VHS, it would have been VHS copy and stuff like that. So, which is, you know, much more my speed, I guess, as an old timer. So, but no, there's lots of good ones, but that one followed closely by, I think, the Chiefs documentary was a solid number two.
Yeah, no, those are solid picks for sure. And, you know, fun little Easter egg with that Tough Guys documentary. I believe it's the episode with the Sam Squinch when they first say the Sam Squinch in Trailer Park Boys when they go into a Bub's shed in there. They're playing the documentary in there. So it's a little.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, it's a little Easter egg. Fuck, I'll have to take a little picture of it. But yeah, fun fact, folks. There's a little Easter egg. I believe it's the Sam Squinch episode. And of course, people who don't listen to don't watch Trailer Park Boys are probably like, what the fuck are these two talking about? But yeah,
don't kill it. Those things are worth money, Bubs.
Yeah. Bubs, I said there's no such thing as a Saskatchewan, you know? Fuck. Classic show. But yeah, so I believe it's in that episode. I could be wrong, but I know I used to have a picture of it on my phone. But yeah, that one, that's one of those ones you look into, and they really kind of explain as to how the toughness in hockey and that enforcer role actually made hockey, like, kind of thrive in the South at the time, because of course this was like the Attitude Era of the WWE, and so that was huge at the time. Yeah. And people had thought about it like that, but then they realized, you know, holy fuck, like, these guys are actually throwing punches at each other. Like, this isn't, you know, staged like wrestling. Not that, you know, wrestling wasn't great back then, but, you know, it's just when you see two guys going at it in sport in front of you, it's different. And I mean, when you can do it for $15 for two tickets and, you know, a dollar beer night on a Wednesday, I mean, fuck, you know, no wonder it's going to grow. And it gave you just a really gritty, straightforward look into the role of a tough guy. There was no fluffing of, you know, anything happening there. Like, we saw Curtis Voth get cut a couple times. You saw Brandon Christian get cut. And it's not like, you know, some rainbows and unicorns happen afterwards. It's like, fuck, these guys are looking for a job still. And, you know, they can just, you know, even though they're fighting, they can just be gone just like that. So I love that documentary. And it shows the hard reality of what it used to be like back then. I don't think it's quite like that so much these days, of course, because you don't have Kevin Holliday trying to break a CHL fight record, which he goes for it in that documentary, folks. And he breaks the single season record. I think it was, he still held that till that league dissolved, I believe.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I mean, 45 or 43.
Something.
40-something, anyway.
Something ridiculous, but literally that was his sole goal, and he beat the record. So, I mean, it's a really cool documentary. I highly encourage folks to check that one out.
Yeah, and I think that's, and like, you're right, though. And I think that's, and it's really gritty, and the reality hits.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, like you said, Voth fighting with his coach there and all this, and you're like, you know, and even Christian fight with the coach. Like, the coach is just giving mixed signals. Like, yeah, don't fight him. And meanwhile, he's getting punched in the face, looking at the bench, like, what am I supposed to do? And then he finally snaps, and then they get mad that he fought. And it's like, and you're sitting there watching it, like, well, what did you think he was? What can he do? He's getting punched in the face. And, like, you feel sorry for these guys, right? And it's just like, you know, you see what they're going through. And, you know, you're not making any money. And it's just like, you know, how, like, packing up a U-Haul. And, you know, and the boss just has a kid, which looks hilarious now because on Facebook, because she's in college now, but in the movie, she's like newborn, right? So it's just like, you know, and, and it's just, it's the gritty reality of low level minor league hockey. And it's like, and they show, Holiday interview, he's got like the ice bag on his hand, he's riding the bus in the bunk, and it's just like, and you're just thinking, holy shit, these guys are doing this for like 300 a week, like, no way. You know, it's like the gritty reality, right? And it's just like, and he did a good job capturing it. Like, they didn't fluff it up and make it seem glamorous. They actually went the other way. They made it seem as, well, there's no glamour at all. It slaps you right in the face about how real this shit is.
Well, yeah, they had...
and what these guys go through.
Yeah, they had LaForge come in there, and he was just kind of like, yeah, fuck, I don't, like, I'm not fighting anymore. Fuck that, you know? He's like, you know, I had my time in the NHL. It's fucking done. Why would I fight? And he still has guys challenging him because, of course, he still made it. I mean, when you have that rep, you're NHL tough guy at one point, guys are going to come after you no matter what. And you saw it in that documentary. I think he ended up having like one fight in that documentary. But yeah, you definitely see the reality. And especially when a guy gets to that age and he's just like, you know, fuck this.
Yeah. You know what would be really cool? That's a shame. But it would be cool to like act like, talk to Clattenburg. I would love to see the outtakes from that stuff, like the footage that they didn't use.
Yes.
Oh, because because he filmed them, he probably got hours of game tape and like mic'd up stuff and that they never used. Oh, that'd be awesome. Have like the DVD, the uncut version, or like, you know, the behind the scenes shit. Like, that would be awesome. I'd love to see some of that stuff. Oh, could you have outtakes of the Brandon Christian hotel interview? That'd be the greatest thing you've ever seen. Yeah, tremendous. Yeah,
that was great. Get a little cameo. Yeah, like you said, though, I always laughed at that scene with Brandon Christian. Yeah, Marty Melnichuk's just sitting there punching him, and he's just supposed to take it, and Coach gets mad at him. It's like, what the fuck, dude? What do you want me to do? It's like, can't you blame
Christian? Well, it's like, what are you sending him out to do?
Right.
You know, what, is he out there to run the power play? Like, come on, you know, like... You know, like, yeah, it's, you see how ridiculous some of it is.
No, definitely. I'm down with tough guys. And folks, where you can find that actually is the Hockey Fights UK page run by Paul over there in the UK, friend of our shows.
Yes.
So highly encourage you to go check that out. And he still posts fights to this day of happenings over there in the EIHL and other various leagues across the United Kingdom. So I encourage you to go check out that YouTube channel. Quick little plug there for our boy, Paul. But yeah, I remember seeing that one years ago and I was like, oh, this is fucking awesome. But my favorite documentary, and this should be no surprise for longtime listeners of the show, of course, but The Last Gladiators is the Chris Nyland documentary. And it's not just following Chris. He's the main character, but you know, he's the main focus of the documentary. But they bring in enforcers from around the NHL and that had previously played. And just great insights from every guy. They had Bob Probert in there. They had Tony Twist. They had Marty McSorley, guys like that. And it was awesome. It was like almost the precursor to Ice Guardians, of course, that, you know, kind of got more traction through the later lines. I want to say The Last Gladiators came out around 2012, 2013. And for me, I mean, not to be dramatic or anything, but honestly, that documentary for me was fucking life-changing. Because this podcast probably wouldn't exist without that. My fandom for tough guys wouldn't exist without that. I'd always like tough guys, but that's what made me just do the deeper dive into the role. Because up until then, I had never really looked at guys from the 80s, 70s, even like the earlier 90s. But that's when I started doing the deeper dive. Because of course, I would have been probably 16, 17 when that came out. So I had known, you know, the tough guys I had grown up watching, the Bougards, Waugh, you know, guys like that. So that made me do the deep dive and really kind of, you know, fall into the deep end of enforcers and tough guys. And because of that documentary, I was fortunate enough to, you know, meet Chris Nyland and go to a Habs game with him, which was an unreal experience. I've always said I got to do a podcast just talking about that, that whole experience eventually. But just the insight you get from the guys, not only Chris Nyland, how, you know, he was such a low draft pick and fought his way up to the Montreal Canadiens, roster. But Tony Twist and Marty McSorley in that movie are just fucking fantastic in terms of laying out the blueprint for what an enforcer is and what they do. And some people might not like the answer. And another thing with this one, it's gritty as well. It's I won't say it quite of a darker tone, but you know, they're just upfront. They don't fluff it at all. Same with like Todd Ewens in there, same thing. You know, he's a regretful tough guy. He fought Bob Probert and kind of got pigeonholed after that because, I mean, he knocked him out in one punch. So goes into the depth of that, like a tough guy that kind of just got thrown into the role. So you see it from so many different sides, and it was just like you said, maybe it was because of the first one like that I ever saw with NHL players from that era, because even the Tough Guys documentary was a little bit later, because I had probably seen that same one around that time. But for me, The Last Gladiators was just, it was just something I had never seen before, and it was just like the beginning of a journey for me that was just an absolute fucking dive into the enforcer world. Whether that's a good thing or bad thing, I think that's up for other folks to debate.
Yeah, no, that was awesome. I loved it. Oh, I've always said that completely. Whenever I do my rapid fire and I ask people who they did a 180 on, that's when I did my 180 on Nyland.
Yeah.
I never liked Nyland growing up. I wasn't a fan. I always respected what he did and all that, but I was never a Nyland fan. And then my friend and I went to the movie theater. They screened that for one day only in Saskatoon. And we went, there was like no one in we had the whole theater to ourselves pretty much. Very poorly advertised, but we sat down and watched it, and it was like, on the big screen, I'm like, this is awesome. And then, you know, I had to get the DVD later. But, oh, and the interviews that Alec is talking about, the excerpts, they're like eight-minute interviews with like Twist and McSorley. I'm going to do my own plug here. Fourth Line Voice on YouTube. I have those clips on my YouTube channel. I talk about, I have them, like, Brashear is the other one that they talk to. And it's like their thoughts on being an enforcer. And like McSorley, and the comments, after you watch the video, scroll the comment section. You think you're watching, they just watch serial killers talking. These people can't wrap their heads around what Twist and McSorley are saying, but they lay out what an enforcer is, and it's exactly what it was back in the day. Sure as it isn't anymore, but back then it was. But those were great clips. The Probert one's really good, too. His clip is good, too. And Ewan's is on there. Yeah, I got them all on there. But, yeah. No, it was a great, great documentary. Full credit to Nyland for, like, not holding back. Like he exposed himself. Yeah. He showed his weaknesses and his addiction and what he's gone through in his private life. And, you know, for a while he was a disaster, you know, and mm-hmm. he didn't sugarcoat that. And he's come out the other side and doing well now. And he's got the podcast rolling and, you know, the fan radio there and all that stuff. So he's done well for himself. But yeah, it was, yeah, that documentary, I love the Last Gladiator. That was awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. That one will always hold a special place in my heart. I got to buy that fucking DVD again. I know I can get it off eBay for like, I don't know, like a couple bucks here and there, like maybe 10, 15 bucks. But I used to have it. And then when whenever I got out of the military, I just lost it in the move. I don't know what the fuck happened, but no clue where that DVD is anymore.
Well, I liked it because, I mean, yeah, okay, it's on Netflix or whatever. You know, I get it. You know, DVD, you know, how old are you? You know, whatever. But I just liked it because it had, like I said, it had those... The interview clips,
yeah.
The DVD extras is why I got the DVD. I don't even, you know, I'd seen the document in the movie theater, but I just got it for like the 45 minutes of extras.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I mean, as I'm thinking about it now, do you know, I know we're going to talk about Ice Guardians here next, but is there an Ice Guardians DVD? Did they ever come out with a DVD?
Ice Guardians, I think so. Let me double check.
Because I've seen it obviously on Netflix. I've seen it a couple times. That's where I watched it the first time, or on demand, or wherever I watched it when it first came out. And I remember talking to Adam Scorgi about it, and I was like, okay, because there was a whole bunch of guys that he did interviews with that never made the actual show. And I was like, put them on the DVDs as extras. Like, I don't know if people realize, like, Yablonsky, Zenon Konopka, mm-hmm. like, all those guys were in that initially, and they never made the final cut.
Well, Konopka did. Konopka made the final cut, but he was in it briefly. But, no, I remember seeing that one trailer where it was, like, Yablonsky in there. I remember Yablonsky.
Yeah.
And
the head Sasha Lakovic.
Lakovic, yeah.
He was in it, and, like, Bugard. Like, he didn't really talk about Bugard. Like, he's not really in that, is he?
I think he has one quick scene, but I think at the time of filming, he had passed. Because if you're interviewing Bugard, because the DVD came out in 2016, so if you're interviewing Bugard, it has to be circa, like, 2010 or something. So, I mean, it was years in the making when they did it.
Yeah, and the thing, well, I guess I've completely killed your lead up because we're already talking about Ice Guardians now. I guess that's what we're going to talk about next.
Real quick, you can get a DVD of it. I was just looking.
Can you?
Yeah, so it looks like on Best Buy, FYE. So like looks like spending about 15 to 20 bucks for an Ice Guardians DVD.
But I wonder if there's extras.
Let me see.
Or if it's just the thing.
Let me see if Best Buy, if I can see like a thing of like the actual packaging. It only gives me one photo, so I don't know. Fuck.
Yeah, and I mean.
Oh, 30. Anyway. Okay, yeah. So Ice Guardians, The Untold Story is 30 minutes of bonus footage. I don't know. So I guess there's 30 additional minutes.
Well, there you go. I should get that DVD then. Yeah, I'm going to have to get that. We'll get into Ice Guardians here, but that Ice Guardians sort of has a special place in my heart. For those that I don't think I've ever talked about this. Way back when, I can remember when it was just an idea that Adam Scorgi had. And I remember him on the fight boards talking about it. And I remember him was talking to me about, and he wanted to use some of my footage, my fight footage. And I sent him some stuff. I sent him some pictures, some of which he used in the show, I believe. I do take great, it's pretty cool. My name is actually in the credits, comes up in the credits. You'll see Fourth Line Voice in the credits and then Darren Pugh, my real name. But, and I was really, and a little, I'm not, oh, I was a big part of that. I made it happen. Well, no, I was a little clog, but it was nice to have a little piece of that and help out.
Yeah.
And I talked to Adam through the whole way and actually made that first trailer. He sent it to me on the down low. And that was the trailer, I think, way back when, I think I sent you, that has Lakovic and Yablonsky on it and everything. Yeah. He called it a sizzle reel. And that was the one that he initially pitched to the studios to try to get this, as they say, whatever, green light or whatever they call, as they say in the movie business. And it failed. Like, nobody would pick it up. And it was dead in the water until Kelly Chase got a hold of it. And then he started talking to Kelly Chase, and Chase and his people kind of got involved. And that's what got them. And then that's how they got Brett Hall. And that's where the story sort of changed into, we got to get some of the star players in here and how they react to Tough Guys.
Right.
It kind of changed the documentary a little bit. Whereas before, I think it was a lot more about fighting. And it had like Yablonsky. And I think they were going to have like Yablonsky kind of talk about battling it out in the minors. Like, I think it was going to have a few different dynamics. Because I remember talking to Scorgi about all that. And then it changed after Chase and them got involved. And then that's the final thing is what everyone sees. But and the whole Bugard thing, like, they had hours and hours of footage with Bugard and Semenko and all that. And I remember talking to Adam after, and I was kind of like, I would love to, that's the stuff I would love to see, are the outtakes that you never use. And I'd love to see what Lakovic had to say and Yabo and guys like that. That would be really cool. And I know at the time he really wanted to get them on the DVD, and he kind of talked about like, yeah, that would be cool that if each guy had their own section and just do like, just add some sound bites from each guy that was actually a part of the show.
Right.
That never made it to air. And, I don't think that happened, but it was just like, you know, but going forward, it was really cool to see. It was cool to see the final product and see it do really well. And I mean, it got lots of awards, and it was at Cannes Film Festival, and it was a big, when it first came out, Ice Guardians, that was a big buzz about that show. And I think a lot of people watched it, and it was really successful. And I know it did really well. So to make a long story longer, I'm just rambling at this point, but it was cool for me talking to Adam when it was just an idea.
Yeah.
And then to see the final product up on a big screen and see him doing so well and the success that he's had going on and making other documentaries. Like, Adam Scorgi's made some cool shit. If people want to look into his stuff, like, he made the Biz Bang documentary. He made like the Good Son. Watch that one. What, with Boom Boom Mancini and shit.
Didn't he? Awesome. He did the Grant Fear one as well, didn't he? I believe the Making Coco. That was a Coco, really good one. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, he's done a lot of good documentaries. There was one, like the weed one, The Union and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm not a weed guy, but I'm talking to Cloudy over here. He might be into it. But at the time, though, that was a real cutting-edge documentary because Canada hadn't legalized it yet.
Right.
When that came out. And I was never a big weed guy. Not that I had anything against it. I wasn't for or against it. I was like, whatever. And Adam mentioning, yeah, you should watch that show, man. It might change your opinion. And it did. Watching it was really good, and it did change my opinion.
Yep.
And no, he's a good dude, and still talk to him now and again. And actually, there's a guy I need to get on the show. I kept telling him I need to get him on the podcast because I know he's a massive fight fan. He went to high school with Parker and them and Fedoric and Kelowna, and he's an old fight fan from way back. And I know he loves my YouTube channel watching all the fights, but no, Adam's a great guy. So it was really cool to see him have the success that he had with Ice Guardians. And and it was cool to see the final product. So yeah, that was for a very long-winded answer, but
yeah. No, you're good. No, I mean, Ice Guardians, I think when you talk about enforcer documentaries, I mean that's probably the gold standard at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, just such a star-studded cast, and I say that, you know, cast, not obviously not actors, but like the amount of players that they had in there. They had, you know, Bugard, Dave Brown, Semenko, Kelly Chase, Brett Hull, Parker, Konopka, Peros, Colt Knorr. I mean, just, and that's not even everybody either. There's still probably another 10 guys I'm missing. So it's, you get so many different insights from different eras. I think that was the cool thing, because that was the only thing that was with the Nylon documentaries. All those guys kind of played in that same era, maybe just off by a couple years, like when Twist came in a little bit, you know, Brashear playing a little bit later. But in this one, you had guys like Gazdik, who were still currently in the NHL fighting. You know, you had guys like McGrattan, who were kind of on the fringe, just got done playing the NHL, trying to play in the EIHL or in the AHL at the time. And then, you know, you, on the other hand, you have Semenko, Wendell Clark, stuff like that. So you just got to see how the role evolved over time in that documentary and kind of what it became and how many different views, like just different training aspects from guys too. You know, you got Parker, who's over there fucking wrapping his hands in chains and hitting trees to callus up his knuckles so his knuckles can take a more of a beating when he's hitting helmets. Just like stuff like that is insane to think about, but that's what these guys were doing. And I mean, you get all of that in this documentary. So for me, it's probably the gold standard of enforcer documentaries for sure.
Yeah. Well, and the last thing I'll talk about it just real quick with Scorgie, and which made it cool. And I think it comes through in the show. He was a fan.
Mm-hmm.
He's a fight fan.
Exactly.
He wasn't some poser that just picked the thing and, oh, I'm going to talk about this because it'll be cool or trendy and I can yell old time hockey. Like, no, he was a fight fan. He went to school with Parker and Fedoruk and Kelowna. He knew them personally. So he saw, and he still talks about the fight when Rocky was coming to town and Parker was telling everybody in the hallway they were going to fight in high school. You know, and they all went to the game that night to watch the heavyweight championship in the Western Hockey League.
Yeah.
Rocky Thompson versus Scott Parker. Scorgie tells that story all the time. That fight's on my YouTube channel too, by the way, folks, if you want to watch it.
Quick little shameless plug.
I'll do that a couple more times before we're done. But, absolutely. So it was always cool that Scorgie was a fight fan too. And so It was a passion project. And it comes through, I think, when you're watching it. You could tell it's made by a fight fan.
Yeah, exactly.
Like you said, you could just tell by the guys he got.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I could tell you if it was done by the guys that run the world's biggest hockey fight site, they'd be over there talking to Adam Lowry or something, or, you know, like, you know, they'd be talking to a bunch of guys that still play now. They don't even know who Dave Semenko is or Wendell Clark. So it was made by a fight fan, and that's what made it so special.
Yeah, for sure. I remember the first time I saw it, I think I watched it back like three times. I just thought it was so well done. And again, probably the gold standard of enforcer docs. I'm sure that's probably the most popular one on this list, but with some of the listeners, I know that you know, this might be a new concept for you with listening to tough guy talk and stuff. So that's what this whole episode's about, to give you kind of a deeper look into things. So, you know, that's probably, and I believe that one is available on Amazon Prime. It used to be on, it was on Netflix for the longest time, but now I believe it's still free if you have Amazon Prime. So I'm trying to make sure these people know where to get the documentaries. I know The Last Gladiators isn't on anything. I think you have to have the DVD for that. It used to be on Netflix, but no longer. And you can't even get on Amazon Prime. So I think for The Last Gladiators, you have to get the DVD, unfortunately. But the next one we'll talk about, and this one's going to be more recent, and I'm sure a lot of people have seen this one too. This might actually be like the next most popular one on here, aside from another show we're going to talk about later on in the list. But that is the Danbury Trashers, the Crimes and Penalties from the Untold series on Netflix. And it was funny to see this. I wouldn't say it was funny. This was actually kind of cool to see the documentary come out. And you hear these stories get to the public, because Darren and I were fortunate enough to interview a couple guys involved in the Trashers organization. Darren actually has a 2 hour, it's like, well, 2.5 hour interview, I think, with Brad Wingfeld, and it goes over his whole career and when he got to Danbury. And, you know, this was years before, I think, what, 2 or 3 years before the documentary even came out. And, you know, the story of Brad Wingfeld getting a phone call from Jimmy Galante, you know, he told that on Darren's podcast. And so to hear that at the time was mind blowing. And then I had AJ Galante on the podcast, I think a year or two before the documentary came out. And same thing, told a couple stories. And so you get to hear these stories, you know, here and there, because of course, Wingfeld's interview, you did, it's not all Danbury, but there's a good portion of it, of course. I mean, you hit the nail on the head with a bunch of great shit. I mean, the Danbury portion of that interview is gold. So I encourage folks to go check that out. But when you hear these stories and you actually see it all put together in the documentary, I thought it was really cool that people like are finally, because the Trashers are a big story. And I think, you know, people knew of them, but not enough people knew of them, I think, if that makes sense, you know?
Oh, yeah. Like, well, that was the other thing with the whole Danbury thing, because I can remember that happening in real time. Like, right. In 05, I could remember on the message boards, everybody saying, there's this 18-year-old kid that's running a team in the United League, and they're just a goon team. And we all thought it was hilarious.
Yeah.
And I knew a couple guys that played in the league, and I knew a agent from around, I know Morasti's agent and stuff, and I used to talk to him all the time. And, yeah, and it was like, and you'd hear the stories, and I think it's been, I think Morasti even said it on his latest Spit and Chiglets interview, oh, they barely scratched the surface in that documentary, oh, God. Yeah, the shit that went down. And I can remember hearing stories about it, and it was just like, and some of the stuff that happened, and it was just like, at the time, it was like, oh my God, you know, it was crazy. And so, yeah, everything in that documentary I already knew about, but it was cool to see it make it to TV. And like you said, all that stuff was happening in 04 and 05, and then they were gone. Like, they only played, what, the two seasons?
Yep,
and that
two
was
seasons,
it
was it.
Yeah, and it was like the shooting star, right? And then, so I think, and I've been guilty of this, being older and like seeing this stuff and remember when it all happened. It was funny because the young kids at work, the 18, 19-year-old seasonal kids at work were talking about it. Well, and I was just like, yeah, I know. And they're like, well, what do you mean? And I'm like, well, I just assume everyone already knows this. And it's like, well, no, these kids were like 5 years old when this happened. So why would they know about this in some single A United Hockey League? Like, why would they know about the Danbury Trashers? And I always just think everyone knows about this stuff. And then I'm like, afterwards, I'm like, yeah, I guess, why would you know about this? So then I start telling them more stories about it. And it's like, yeah. So it was cool to finally see, that story make it out into the public and for everybody to consume it and then just try to wrap their heads around.
Yeah.
Cause there's no way anything like that could, well, clearly it can't happen now.
No.
Today's hockey, that would never happen, you know, and back then, like, that was crazy for back then. And back then there was a lot of wild shit, but like nothing like that.
Like, like the old U-Haul League back in the day was fucking tough, but like that was just unseen, you know, like that was insane.
Oh yeah.
Oh man.
Well, and like one guy gets suspended. So, oh, okay, let's just bring in Chad Wagner. Oh, he's suspended. All right, well, we'll bring in Bialowis then. It was just like one after another. And it's like,
it was just a revolving tough guy door in that fucking locker room, man.
Oh, we'll bring Stephen Pete in and Mike Rupp. And like, what? Like, it's like, okay.
Yeah. So, that's definitely a great documentary. I encourage folks to go check that one out. Like I said, it was really, really cool to see the story come alive into the hockey eye, I guess, because people knew about it, but like I said, not enough people did. And I remember, back in the day, and I still think there's little rumbles about it, but I remember they were going to do like a movie about it, not just a documentary. Like they were going to like recreate it. So I still think that would be cool if they do it right. Let me preface that, because as we were just talking about before we got going, I know people might be a fan of this movie, but really we're not too big of fans of the movie Goon. Just in the fact that if you know the real story behind it, and if you're a fight fan, you'll know why, like exactly why you wish you would have got the real story. I highly encourage folks to go check out the Doug Smith, The Journey of a Minor League Enforcer? Or Minor League Goon is what it is. Yeah, Journey of Minor League Goon, excuse me. I'm so used to not saying the word goon. it's like the swear word in this fucking, in this house over here is the word goon. But no, so I encourage folks to go check that out. But again, like if they do a Danbury movie in the way that the real story is, or as close to the real story as they can, I think it'll be a fucking tremendous movie.
Oh, yeah. Like that. Oh, for sure. Yeah. If it's done right and everything. Oh, yeah. The story that you could tell, the like a Sopranos mixed with Slapshot. Oh,
yeah.
That's got gold. Yeah. Absolutely.
100%.
Yeah.
And that one can be found, folks. That one, I believe, is still on Netflix. Yeah, it's still on Netflix. I actually just double checked before we got going earlier to see what was still on Netflix for Tough Guy stuff. Because, like I said, I remember Last Gladiators and Ice Guardians used to be on there. But the Danbury one is still on there. The next one, and this can be found, I think, at Amazon Prime off the top of my head. I'm almost positive it is, actually, now that I'm thinking about it. But another, I guess, common one with older Fight fans. I don't know if newer Fight fans will really know this one, but I highly encourage you to check it out because he's, you know, the best to ever do it. But Tough Guy, the Bob Probert story, and it's a in-depth look. It basically kind of goes over what the book was. For those that don't know, that's actually a book that Bob Probert unfortunately passed away while they were writing. So the very last bit of the book was finished up after he had passed. But it was basically a biography on his life and his struggles with addiction and, you know, stuff of being a tough guy in the NHL, what it was like. So it's a very good insight into what he went through kind of on and off the ice. I will say it's not for the faint of heart. It tells it like it is, and his wife, Danny, will tell it like it is, exactly how it, you know, he was at the time, and it doesn't pull any punches. It's a true, authentic, you know, story about Bob Probert and an unfortunate passing and, you know, kind of the tough life he lived, but at the same time, what a great guy he was and how he could light up a room. And, you know, people remember, obviously, you know, how good of a guy Probert was in general. So it's still a great piece. It's not all sad, of course. I don't want to be a Debbie Downer, but I just want to let people know that, you know, it is real and it's authentic.
Yeah. Yeah, it really was. And I mean, and you get the true story, the warts and all. And they certainly didn't church it up. And I always appreciate that more.
Yeah.
Like going back to the Nyland one, right? It was like, yeah, they told it like it is. They didn't hide from their problems and they addressed them. And then, yeah. And it's like, like with the Probert one, yeah, he paints himself. He looks really shitty at times.
Yeah,
and he's a shitty husband. He's a shitty teammate, you know, and he at times, and he talks about all of that. Shitty father, you know, and it's just like, yeah. And so he doesn't hide from it. So I can appreciate that.
Yeah.
It was like, and I'm, you know, and you're getting the honesty, and that's, you know, if you do a documentary, you can't ask for more than that. To be authentic. And that one certainly is.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah.
That was the same thing. Like you said, it was like after watching that and reading the book and stuff, it was just like.
And now here's a quick message from our sponsor. Bet on the action on the ice with DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the app now and use code THPN. New customers can get $150 instantly in bonus bets for betting just $5 on hockey. That's code THPN, only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. The crown is yours. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for a gambling problem. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccp.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill and Casino Resort, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See DraftKings.net/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, responsibility, gaming resources. NHL and NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the NHL Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2023, all rights reserved.
Not that it changed my opinion. I'm like it's still my favorite, whatever, but it was just like, yeah, you kind of felt a little bit. Yeah, I mean, I felt bad for Danny and the kids and stuff after reading it. It's like, yeah, that kind of sucked.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah, I mean, you already know what the ending was, unfortunately. He passed away. I mean, so that's not a surprise, but, you know, it was a battle. His life was a battle and a lot of ups and downs for sure.
Yeah, and I will say from a Fight fan perspective as well, you get some good excerpts about him fighting in like the OHL and stuff like that. And they actually do bring in some of his former opponents, like Domi's in there, Grimson's in there, and they play the clip, and they'll have like Grimson literally doing a live reaction to, you know, round whatever, because we know Probert and Grimson fought, you know, almost 20 fucking times. So you get the live reaction of, you know, Grimson saying what it was like fighting Probert in that fight. And same thing with Domi. They talk about, you know, leading up to the rematch and round one and two, everything with it. So you still get some fight lore in there, but it's just a deep dive in who Bob Probert was as a person. And kind of it's crazy to think how much shit he would get in off the ice to think of how good of a player he still was, actually. When you think about it, it's actually fucking nuts.
Oh, you actually think, imagine if he was like serious.
Right.
And like trained and like was focused and like, you know, like you saw how good he was hungover playing, right? Like, could you imagine a focused, like give him Trevor Gillies intensity.
Right.
And imagine what Probert would have done with that. Not only fight wise, but just production wise, it would have been unbelievable. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So,
you know, you bring up a good point. I was going to say that too. And I've had this discussion with people at times and stuff, and I think what happens sometimes with like the Guardian thing or Ice Guardians or and the Last Gladiator and the Probert thing and everything else, I think sometimes as fight fans, I think people think that, oh, it's going to be basically a fight tape with them doing commentary over it.
Right.
It's like, well, no. I mean, it's a documentary. I mean, obviously fighting is a part of it, clearly, but it's not like, you know, they're going to it's too bad, believe me. As a fight fan, I wish they did. But it's not like they're going to unearth some Bob Probert Jr. footage that no one's ever seen, you know, like, I mean, I wish they did, but it's like, no, they're going to just, and they're going to talk about the greatest hits. Like, you know, they're going to show the Domi fight and the Grimson fights and the Craig Cox or whatever, the Joey Koser fight. Like, yeah, they're not going to get into him fighting Kevin Maguire and, you know, yeah, those fights might've been better, but they're not going to talk about that because,
right.
The casual fan just wants to know the hits, right? Like when you go to a Kiss show, you want to hear them play Deuce and Rock and Roll All Night. I don't want to hear the B side of Psycho Circus, right? Like so.
Right.
Although as a massive Kiss fan, you might want to, but I mean, no. General fans want to see the hits, so it's like, yeah, when you were going to get the Probert documentary, that's what you were going to get. I would have loved if they had uncovered old OHL footage. Believe me, I asked. yeah, and it was the same thing with Scorgi. I remember telling him, like with the Oilers, I'm like, hey, yeah, you try to get some old Semenko stuff. He just started laughing. He's like, yeah, they're not going to do that. You know, like,
right.
But I think sometimes people think that's going to be some fight tape with like DVD commentary over
right.
or something. And it's like, no.
Yeah, it's not quite.
Well, believe me, a part of me wishes it was kind of like that, but no, it's not. That's not realistic.
Yeah. No, it's just not. But yeah, so that's...
Am I rambling here? Am I making any sense in this show?
I mean, fuck, you and I ramble anyway, dude. I mean, I'm not even hitting stop right now. It's just going to fuck... I mean, I'm, what, 3 beers deep, but I got a couple tall boys. I mean, wives are gone. I don't care. I mean, fuck, dude, we're here for a good time, not a long time.
There we go. All right.
Yeah, no, you're good.
I keep thinking I'm like, I'm yammering, but I don't know if I'm making a point at all. I'm just sort of going and, I don't know. It's like, hey, Big Ben Parliament. Look, kids, can't get right. You know,
no, man, you're good. No, all good. That's the whole point. Like, that's why I enjoy these interviews, because it's not like literally, folks. I'll let you know how much preparation I did for this podcast. I told Darren, I said, hey, let's talk about Enforcer movies. He comes on, he goes, what are we going to talk about? I said, I don't know. We'll just kind of talk about the movies, what they're about, and I'm sure you and I can get going from there. And look at us. We're fucking 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 movies in, and we've got 40 minutes of content, folks. That's the kind of service we give you with the 5 for Fighting and the Fourth Line Voice shows here.
There we go. Yeah.
We can just make it happen.
Yep.
So the next one, though, shifting gears a little bit more on the fun side. And if you're a fight fan, you probably know. But for more casual fans, I definitely don't think you're going to know this one. But the old Les Chiefs documentary. And for those that don't know, this follows the Laval Chiefs of the LNH. Actually, at the time, it was the the QSPHL. So it was the Quebec Senior League. It was before it became the LNH. But it follows them. And this is when they had, I mean, just a stacked roster, you know, like, I'm trying to think of, like, Bajerny, Martin, I think, would Cote have been there at the time? No. Yep. Yeah, yeah, yes, he would have. Yeah, he would have.
Louis Bedard.
Louis Bedard. Yep. They had fuck old Tim old Tim Levesque, Corey Holland. Yep. Oh, yeah. Old
Timmy Levesque.
Old Tim Levesque. Fun story. Yeah, folks, if you don't know what we're talking about, I highly encourage you to go watch the documentary. This one, I don't think
follow him on Facebook.
Yeah. I don't think you can find. I think you could find it on YouTube. It might not be the greatest quality, but it's getting. You'll get the gist. I mean, I have the DVD. The DVD isn't the greatest quality either. But basically, it follows the Laval Chiefs. But these guys, it's not just your run of the mill hockey documentary shows them during the games. These guys are actually living at the Coliseum in Laval. And by that, I mean they're literally living at the rink. That was part of their deal. And these guys actually are like player housing is a few rooms in the rink, and they'll go and they'll play and they'll fight. And they show all the madness that was the QSPHL back in the day. Like they build up a fight with I can't remember if it was an outtake or if it was in the actual documentary, but I know the clip's on YouTube. But they build up when Martin fought Link Gates. I remember that one being in either the actual documentary or the extras. But I mean, it's a great documentary. It's done by Mike Bajerny's brother. So the current player, his brother was doing it. And I mean, it just shows you the greasy minor league madness that was the QSPHL back in the day.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, and there's so many stories of that league, and especially back then. I mean, guys were getting paid in cash, and the Hells Angels were paying them, and greasy owners. And it's like they interviewed a couple, like they interviewed that Brady Austin. He's like, I didn't even know what this league was. I just showed up and got paid in cash. And, and they just start brawls. And Mike Henderson's tremendous in that show.
Oh, yeah. He's pulling his teeth out. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. and just and Bob Berger, the owner. It's just right at the start, they're showing the crazy fan making the belt before he goes to the game, and crazy Quebec League fans. Being a part of that back then, and like knowing people involved in the league and doing shit in the league and stuff, it's like I know all that stuff firsthand, and I know all the stories, and it's true to life. Everything you see in that show is legitimate, and then some. and then they show them afterwards in the summer, they're going to make extra money by boxing. Yep. Holland and Bajerny and them go box. Although Bajerny doesn't box, but the other guys do to make money. And and it's just a real crazy look at hockey and the Quebec team, just the whole Quebec senior LNAH craziness. That is one thing I would love for somebody. It's never too late, I guess, but I would love for somebody that was really involved in the league and stuff to go back and do like a real documentary on the league.
Yes.
From the beginning of the LNAH to like maybe to now or whatever, and like interview ex players and get old footage and like get old stories and, or even just write a book. I know from talking to a player, there is an ex-player that I know wants to write a book about the LNAH, and he's kind of knocking the idea around. I'm not going to throw out who it is because he hasn't done it, obviously, but I know he talked to me about doing it.
Yeah.
But it was like, I would love some history to be done on that league, other than the Chiefs movie. That's a good starting point. Well, and like we said, we'll talk about the St. Hyacinth, but that's hard because it's in French, so it's I don't know what's going on.
There. We'll be able to go into too much depth.
Was that before the Chiefs? No, that was after the Chiefs.
I think it was a year or two after.
Yeah, because they aren't in St. Hyacinth yet. They're still like the Cousin or whatever they're called, or I don't know.
It was when they had like the blue jerseys with like the star going across. Like fuck, Tasker was on them with that era, I think. But I don't know if he's in the documentary.
And it's all in French, but it's. And it's too bad they didn't have subtitles because it looks really cool. I know the fights are great, but I don't know what they're saying. But but I would love to like pick it up from there and go forward and just interview, get all the guys that were in the league, like the names of the league, and just go through. We won't get into all the stuff here, but like you said, the Hells Angels and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And the Montreal Mob and all that stuff that was involved in it. And crazy guys selling weed and doing porn on the side, and all that stuff. But
Chucky Boom Boom, baby. People have
Chucky Boom Boom. Yeah. So it's like, that would be great to see a documentary on that. But in the meantime, I highly recommend the folks out there. I think on YouTube it's called like the Real Life Slap Shot is like the name
of
the title.
I think is what it is, yeah.
Of the thing, and it's the Chiefs, L-E-S, Chiefs, Le Chiefs. And yeah, tune in, because it's, that ain't acting. That's all real shit that's happening, I'll tell you.
Yeah, yeah, it is good. And yeah, so I said I have the St. Hyacinth one on the list here, folks. Now, as Darren mentioned, it's all in French, so I don't know what they say in it. I apologize. My North Cackalacky ass does not speak a lick of French. If you want to direct any anger, direct it towards Darren, because he's from Saskatchewan and doesn't know French. Not that they speak French there, but I think they should know it if they're in school. So, you know, any anger, direct it towards Darren and not me.
Well, it is our national, it's our, you know, second language. And I did take it in elementary school. Never took it in high school, though. But yes, took French. And other than counting, that's about all I can do.
Yeah, so, I know Spanish is, I would say, I mean, not officially, but probably the second language of the U.S., but I know construction terms, and that's about as far as my Spanish goes.
Yeah, there you go.
But no, so unfortunately, we don't know 100% what's going on, so I do apologize to any French listeners we may have, but if you do happen to speak French, go. I apologize, I cannot find the name of it, but if you probably just Google St. Hyacinth LNH documentary, it'll come up, because I know I found it on YouTube doing something similar. So I'd have to go back and find it. I probably should have prepped, but again, as I mentioned before, we did zero prep for the show. Don't mind my dogs going nuts in the background. It's on YouTube. I know that much. But before we get into some honorable mentions here, the last one, and this was one I added. I thought about it actually while we were talking about the Probert documentary, and I believe it's still on YouTube. But it's the Ty Domi like little mini documentary that he did back in the day, and he kind of talks about the Probert fight and everything, the rematch, and leading up to that. Is it Ty Domi Whatever It Takes? Right, I think it's what it's called.
Yep. Yeah. I forgot about that. Yeah.
I just thought about that because I remember, and somebody had mentioned it in the comments when I had made a post about, you know, what's your favorite Enforcer documentary. I know that one came up a couple times, and I was like, oh yeah, I kind of forgot about that one. But it's really cool. It's cool because you get to hear Ty Domi talk about kind of what it's like being a rookie and how Messier kind of straightened him out. Because, of course, Ty Domi was the first one, I would really say probably the first one to start doing antics after the fight, you know, kind of because he mentions it and why he did it in that documentary. And it was because, you know, wrestling was big at the time. So that's how he got the whole speed bag, the whole belt celly and everything like that. So, you know, and Messier kind of came to him, was like kind of knocked the shit out a little bit. So it's funny you see Ty Domi, how he was as a rookie, and then, you know, leading up to the fight with Probert. But I think it's a really good insight.
Yeah, it was. And it was, again, really cutting edge at the time.
Yeah.
There's some really good sound, like when he's in Winnipeg and was it Huda he's getting mad at? He's like, who's this Huda? Who strapped balls on this guy?
Yeah.
You know, and he slashed him like, you motherfucker, you know, and he's just like, yeah, yeah. No, so yeah, it had some good, had some good sound bites, and I think I was actually watching that actually kind of, again, I was never, I couldn't stand Domi when he first came up with the Rangers, and it was like, and then after I kind of watched that, I was like, I softened my stance on him a lot.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm glad you brought that up. I actually completely forgot about that, but yeah, Ty Domi, What It Takes. Yeah, it was good.
Yeah. Absolutely. So we'll get into some honorable mentions here, folks. And what I mean by honorable mentions is these documentaries will have a little bit of hockey fight lore in them, but they're not specifically based on fighting or enforcers. There's one that is based on an event and a couple fights leading up to it that we'll get into. But it's not strictly, you know, hockey fight or enforcer related, such as the other ones. I guess Danbury wasn't technically, but I mean, they show fights numerous times in there, so I kind of count it as a fight documentary. But the first one, and this one can be found on YouTube, very good one. It was done by HBO like years ago. This thing's probably almost 25 years old at this point, but it was the Broad Street Bullies HBO documentary, and they get guys like, you know, Bobby Clark, Dave Schultz, you know, the main, the usual suspects from that Broad Street Bullies era, and they just kind of give you a deep dive into what it was like for these guys. And, you know, Dave Schultz, you know, how he evolved into, had to, like, you know, become the tough guy for the team, and all the antics of Fred Shiro as a coach and everything. I mean, I just thought it was a really good documentary, but you get to hear some of the fight lore and how they just, you know, made that decision, just not take any shit, and we're just going to beat the fuck out of anybody in our way of a Stanley Cup, really.
Yeah, no, it was good. They did a really good job, and I like the fact that years later and everything, that those guys have really kind of embraced it.
Mm-hmm.
And like, because there was a time like Schultz really didn't want right. any part of that and all that. And it's like, but as he's gotten older and kind of got into it, and yeah, no, they did a good job covering it. And I laughed because, of course, they had the one nerd writer that was crying about it in the documentary, Jay, whatever his name was, some writer for Sports Illustrated or something, crying about their bullies. And he was thought he was going to cry right on camera. So it was great to have that that dichotomy in the show, but of him crying about how mean they were, but and them just embracing it and loving yeah. it. But no, it was cool. Yeah, like I said, it was like, you know, I always knew about the Broad Street Bullies and everything else, but again, like, you know, that was as old as I am. That was before my time too. So it was cool just to see the old footage and to see one a lot of those guys being still alive and being able to share their stories. So right. that was cool. So I'm glad they did it, and it was and they didn't hide from it.
No,
like they didn't try to church it up, and you know, oh, we weren't really that bad. We didn't really mean it. No, they're just like, yeah, no, we meant it. Didn't give a shit. We won. So, tough shit. And it's like, yeah, exactly.
Right.
Because they were hated. It's funny, even like when I talk to my old man and stuff, like they hated the Flyers. Like everyone hated them. You know, because they hated Bobby. And they were bullies and, well, their name, right? And they were gang fighting. And it's like, oh, embraced it. And they're like, yeah, so we won. Twice.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Fuck.
That was like, yeah, well, there you go. It's right in the pudding. Proof's in the pudding. So, no, I love the fact that they did that and shoved it up their ass, and they don't hide from it and celebrate it, actually. So, no, that's an awesome documentary. HBO did a good job.
Yeah, and it's funny, too, actually, when you watch it. And, you know, everything comes full circle because, of course, this was at a different time in the U.S.'s history. But, you know, the Cold War was still prevalent back when the Broad Street Bullies were around. And it shows them playing the Soviet Union at the time and how Bobby Clark and Dave Schultz and the Flyers basically just ran the Soviets out of the building. So it's just and they talk about how in that documentary, you know, the Soviets had beaten all the other NHL teams leading up to it. And while everybody hated the Flyers, that was like the one day everybody wanted the Flyers to just beat the fuck out of the Soviets. And they did. And for one day in the nation, everybody was a Flyer fan and they loved every second of what like Dave Schultz and Bobby Clark were bringing to the table. It's great. Absolutely tremendous.
Yep.
Absolutely. That one I believe can be found on YouTube. Literally, if you just look up like HBO Wall Street Bullies documentary, it should be on there. The next honorable mention, as I brought up before, this does, I mean, if the focus is really a fight night, it's Fight Night at the Joe, the one that was just recently done by ESPN. I know, Darren, you said you haven't seen it yet, but I mean, basically, it's what's in the name, you know, is Fight Night at the Joe documentary, yeah. But it's a really good insight leading up to it. And you can still see some of these guys still have, like, to this day, have a little bit of envy towards the opposing players and, you know, what led up to everything. I mean, if you're a fight fan, you probably know Fight Night at the Joe. If you're a hockey fan, you probably know Fight Night at the Joe. It's just really cool to get more of an insight into it. And you get to hear perspectives from both sides. And, like I said, you know, these players aren't pulling back on anything, and you can still tell there's still a little bit of bad blood that can simmer over between these guys, and they still look back on it like, you know, yeah, kind of fuck that guy still, you know? So, definitely recommend it. I don't know exactly where you can find it. I'm sure if you have like ESPN Plus, I would assume it's gotta be like on demand or something. So, I'm sure that's where you can find it. But if you just look up ESPN Fight Night of the Joe, you should be able to find it. I don't know. I can't remember if it was the 30 for 30 or ESPN 60 or something like that. I can't remember. But I definitely recommend that one for sure.
Well, I know. I think it was Darren McCarty on a podcast or something, says every year on that date, he watches that game.
Oh, really?
You know, yeah, every year he watches the replay of that game. And he says every year the hair still stands up on the back of my neck, and he still gets fired up over it. And yeah, I need to watch that. I mean, it's cool. And like, I've heard a lot of good things. Actually, everything I've heard about it has been positive. So yeah. I need to see that.
Yeah, for sure. I enjoyed it. I thought it was very good. And like, to this day, man, even if I go back and watch that, I'm almost on like McCarty, like it'll still make almost the hair stand up on your neck. Cause it's just like, fuck, was it electric that night? Like, you just don't see that anymore. And it's, well, that's a good thing. But I'm not saying you need to have a fucking 6v6 line brawl every game, but damn, just that emotion could just get missed from the game these days.
Oh yeah, no, it'll never be like never be. I don't think teams can get that mad at each other anymore.
No, not at all. Well, like we said, like we talked about with fucking Reeves and Marchand before. Reeves still had two periods to do something to Marchand, and you know, fuck, I see Marchand came out scot free. So what does that tell you? I don't care. You know, if you really wanted to get him that bad, he would have got him. I'll put it that way.
Well, and then if he does it, all these guys,
yeah, that's the problem too.
So they'll all cry about it that he shouldn't be picking a Marchand. Oh, he's a heavyweight. He shouldn't be doing that.
That's the caveat. He's damned if he does, and he's damned if he doesn't.
Yeah.
You know, if he does something, he's too mean, and if he doesn't, well, then why did we sign him? And it's like, but fuck.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, what's he going to do? Like, Marchand's not going to fight him.
No, he'd have to jump him takes a fucking five game.
Ends up getting 2-5, and they get a 7-minute power play, and he gets suspended for 5 games and loses a bunch of money. Well, okay. For what? I mean, you can't do that shit anymore. Back in the day, you could grab them, slap the shit out of them, they'd just give you a 10-minute misconduct, and that was it.
Yep.
That's why you could do that stuff back then. You know, now, you get suspended for 10 games.
If only there were some good documentaries that can go into detail about how it used to be back in the day. I wonder if we could find some of those.
Well, there are such things, but I don't know if people actually listen.
Yeah, that is true.
Because after reading these fight message boards, I don't think people might have watched it, but they didn't really comprehend what was being said. I don't know.
Yeah.
Go back and watch McSorley and Twist on those outtakes, and you'll understand what it's about or what it's supposed to be about. It's nowhere near that anymore, but it was at one time.
Yeah, no, absolutely. yeah, they might have been hearing it. They weren't listening though, that's for sure.
No.
So yeah, definitely Fight Night at the Joe with like I said, ESPN. I'm sure it's on demand or something. If you just type in ESPN Fight Night at the Joe, you should be able to find it. The other honorable mention, and this is actually one of my favorite like hockey documentaries of all time in general. It's not really there's fight portions in it, but it's really just what it's like is the life of, and again, we're going back to the United Hockey League. And people know the famous clip from it, the Jason Ralph going at it, and this has come to be called the Mic'd Up in the UHL clip, and that's where he's going at it with he's fucking beaking Chelios and everything like that. And of course, and it's funny because people will look at that and be like, oh, who's this fucking plug chirping Chelios? Well, if you actually watch the full documentary, and the name is called Roadhogs, and it follows the Ice Hogs in the United Hockey League that year, you'll see why Ralph is upset with Chelios, and it makes sense when you get down to fucking the brass tacks of it. But really, he was kind of mad that he would was taking a roster spot from a guy in the UHL that is, you know, just trying to make a living for $500 a week or whatever the fuck it was at the time. But you got Chelios coming down and taking a spot, and yeah, it makes revenue, but you just took that guy's spot. So that's why Ralph is upset. But people won't get that, and so they just see the 11-minute fucking mic'd up in the UHL clip, but don't know that that's from an actual documentary. But, I mean, fantastic documentary. I haven't seen it for a little bit, but I know if you just look up Roadhogs on YouTube, it's there. So, Darren, I'm sure you've seen it a couple times.
Yeah, no, it's been a long time, though. I think I only actually watched it one time.
Really?
Somebody sent me the DVD of it. Yeah. I mean, I've seen the Jason Ralph thing a million times. Mm-hmm. That's just hilarious. I'll watch that at least a couple times every, because I laugh my ass off. But yeah. I don't even remember the last time I watched the whole documentary. I think it's been a long time. But yeah, to go back to what you're talking about, there was a lot of guys, from an owner's standpoint, I understood during the lockout why they brought the NHL guys in, obviously. But at the same time, again, because I was in real time, I remember this happening. Believe me, it wasn't just Jason Ralph that was hot about these guys coming in and taking jobs from guys. And yeah, that was a sentiment shared by many. And I know Avery had a lot of heat too, and guys were going after him, and yeah, and there was some shit said back and forth, and yeah, there's stuff on the message boards back then, and fans were really split, actually. You know, they were loving seeing the NHL stars come down and play, but at the same time, like I want to say it was like Hatcher, those, like, they kind of big leagued everybody.
Yeah, and I think they did. It was because it was like Chelios, Hatcher, Avery, and I'm sure there was a few others, but those were the big ones in the documentary anyways.
Yeah, and I know, like, like, I know Jackman and was like Jamal Mares and stuff. They played in Missouri. Apparently, yep. They were really good, and they actually made the road trips, and they were into it, and they played all the games with the boys and stuff. But I want to say Chelios and them just kind of played home games and would show up and here and there. And again, at the same time, I don't blame them. You know, they got to look out for NHL careers. I get it. I see everyone's side of the story.
Right.
I see it. You know, I get it. You know, and but I can see why Ralph was mad about it. And because he wasn't alone. There were a lot of guys that were mad about it, you know. And that was a hard time in the minors for a lot of guys, because there was a lot of guys that got bumped out. They had good spots, and like in the American League, they got bumped down to the East Coast, or they had to go overseas. But then there was the import thing. So then all of a sudden, these NHL guys are coming over and bumping your spot out, and you've been going there for 2 or 3 years. Well, who are they going to pick? You or the NHL guy? Well, yeah. Hey, thanks, man, but we'll get back to you later.
Right.
You know, and it's like, you know, so there was a lot of pissed off dudes, man. And there was guys that like lost them paydays, because here are these millionaires taking their spots. And it was like, yeah, there was a lot of hurt feelings about that shit back then. And yeah. And that Roadhogs shows that well.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, not only that, folks, it does show a great, you know, inside look at minor pro hockey. Like, you get some really good insight from Steve Martinson. I mean, legendary coach. I don't really have to sell folks on Steve Martinson, I don't think. But, you know, you get to pick his brain a bit, and you get to see inside. Like a lot of people are mic'd up. Like, you have Martinson mic'd up on the bench. You have Ralph mic'd up, a couple other guys. So you get to hear a lot what goes back and forth, and you hear Martinson yelling at the officials and everything. It's a really good documentary. Like I said, everybody will see kind of that 11-minute clip and kind of don't really realize that that came from an actual documentary. So I encourage folks to go check out the Roadhogs documentary. Again, I think that can be found on YouTube. If you just literally search up Roadhogs ice hockey or Roadhogs documentary, I'm sure it should come up.
I have to go back and watch that again.
It's been a couple of years for me. I might have to go back and rewatch that this week too. I think it's been at least probably 4 or 5 years since I watched it. So I'll definitely have to go back and watch it myself. But last but not least, we have a show. And again, probably a common show for I guess hockey. The hockey community in general seems to be pretty big on it. But just in case anybody doesn't know about some of the tough guys in it, of course, the show is Shorzy on Hulu. And what's it up there? Is it Crave that it's on up there in Canada? Crave.
Yeah.
So that's where it can be found. But basically, if you watch the show Letterkenny, it's a spinoff of the old Shorzy character. And me and Darren were talking even before we got going at how surprised we were. Because I like Letterkenny, but Letterkenny is very hit or miss for me. I'm definitely a Trailer Park Boys fan when it comes more to like those kind of Canadian comedies, I guess. Where they'd be like, yeah, what do you want to call it? Like toilet humor, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah.
But just those shows where it's just like shut off your brain and just fucking laugh for a bit. I love both those shows, but I was definitely more of a Trailer Park Boys fan. So Darren and I were both saying, you know, well fuck, I wonder how we're going to get this, like, how much of Shorzy can they actually carry between him being, you know, just a little bit in the locker room during the Letterkenny series. But goddamn, did they perform well, and they bring in some tough customers as a studded cast here. They got, you know, guys like John Morasty, Terry Ryan, you know, fellow Hockey Podcast Network guy. So shameless plug there for Terry Ryan. Tales of TR, go check out the show. They have other guys, a guy from the LNH. They brought in Alex Penner for the newer season that's out. And then they also, Morasty alluded to maybe there being a Bosse cameo in this new season. So who knows? It's you never know where it's going to go, but I like that they definitely gravitate towards toughness. And I know you've told me that Jared, I believe it's Kesso is how you pronounce it, is a big fight fan.
Jared Kiso.
Yeah. There you go. My apologies, folks. Yeah. But big fight fan and big LNH fan. So, and I know Darren has enjoyed the show quite a bit as well.
Yeah, like you said, right? I didn't have a lot of high hopes for it going in, and because the Shorzy character on Letterkenny's funny, but he's kind of a one-trick pony.
Right.
So it was like, you're going to make a TV show out of this? Like, I just didn't know how they were going to do it. So I was pleasantly surprised. And then when I heard Terry Ryan was in it, and I was like, oh, that's cool. I kind of talked to him about it. And it's like, you know, it was cool to see Terry get a payday. And it was like, all right, well, at least he's in it. And then all of a sudden, oh, Morasty's in this too. Like, oh, you know, so I was happy for those guys. And then you see the show, and it's like, yeah, it's like it's a 20-minute, you know, hangout. And, you know, I don't think it'll be rivaling Seinfeld or Cheers for sitcom history, you know. there is way worse shit on TV. I think for anybody, there's just some good lines in it. The hockey scenes are legit because they have legit guys playing,
yep,
and the legit extras. So the hockey scenes are good. I know the fight scenes are good. They were told to make it look good, land your shots. And it's like, yeah, Alex Penner's in season two. He's, you know, so him, I won't wreck it for anybody, but yeah, he actually has a speaking part too. But it's because I guess season two's already been out here. It's just coming out in the States now. But
yeah, it came out.
Terry Ryan's got a bunch of more lines in this year's show and this year's season, and good looking women and playing hockey and some funny lines and what more do you want? It's they do a good job with it. And the characters are funny and they develop some characters in this, and you know, you want to see where it goes, and there's a storyline to it and everything. So no, they did a great. Kiso did a great. Yeah, Jared Kiso, the star of the show, Shorzy, was a legitimate junior A hockey player back in the day in Ontario. There's actually some of his goal. If you go on YouTube, type in Jared Kiso, OPHL, you'll see some highlights of his career. And he's a big hockey fan, but he was a big fight fan. He did go to a lot of LNAH games back in the day. So he is a legit fight fan and a hockey player. So, and I know his whole thing was just to make it look as authentic as possible. And from talking to Terry Ryan and Morasty about it and stuff, I talked to them talked to John at Ice Wars about it. And it's like, yeah, he's really anal about making it look legit. Like, you know, when you watch a TV show and they do a hockey scene, it's like, you know, guy's toe dragging eight people and top shelf, and you know, it's kind of like, oh my god.
It's like all the extras in the background look like my Bender ass in beer league. Just the absolute worst people to get for a hockey show.
Yeah, you're pretty sure you see the goalie wearing shoes, you know, right? Kind of like, what's going on here? But no, I know they really made it, try to make it look authentic and legit, like the real thing. And they do a good job. And it's funny. They got great lines. And I know they have signed a deal for a third season that's coming out. So, hopefully it continues. I'd like to see a bunch of more seasons from Shorzy. Much like yourself, I was very pleasantly surprised with Shorzy. And I've really enjoyed it. Yeah, I didn't think absolutely. I was going to. I kind of thought I'd get some laughs out of it, but then it'd be like, oh, okay, you know. But no, it's been solid. I've enjoyed it both seasons.
Yeah, I gotta get. I'm late to the party for whatever reason. I thought, but like I said before, we got going. I thought season two was out sometime in like mid-November, but I was wrong. I think it's been out for like a week and a half now. So I gotta get to it. I gotta watch Shorzy season two. Probably end up doing that this week, but
that's so weird with like all the technology,
and
everything else. It's like, why don't you just release it all? I don't know. Who knows how these things work? But it's just kind of like I'm just surprised to just release it. I don't know.
Well, it's probably because you Canadians are just so nice compared to us. So I mean, fuck, they'll give it to you first. Let the nice folk have it, and they'll get yelled at by all the fucking Americans later.
That's true.
Fuckers. But no, so I mean, there you have it, folks. I think that, and I mean, we talked about it before we got going. I think that's really unless you really start getting into some killer B-sides or something like that, that's pretty much it for Enforcer documentaries. I think we pretty much covered it all, eh?
I'm trying to think. Somebody might throw out something that was whatever, but as far as I can remember, Yeah, that's pretty much it.
I will say, because actually, and I thought about it when you brought up the LNH like documentary. They did actually make a second one, which was pretty well done. It was by Vice Sports. I know, you know, some people have their views about Vice or whatever here and there, but it was like if you just look up like the tough, like Vice Sports Toughest Hockey League or something like that, toughest hockey league in the world. And this was circa, I believe, 2015, and it's following the Laval Predators. At the time, and they still had some tough cats rolling around the league, but again, it was one of those ones where it was very well done. It just happened to be probably about 10 years too late for the LNH, because if you could have got cameras back in the day when it was, you know, Morassi versus Bosse, shit like that, you know, and follow a documentary for those guys, I think it would have been a bit more in depth. But you still definitely, it doesn't shy away from toughness. It'll show you the tough side of the LNH up there.
That's with Lassard, right?
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, that's the one where Lassard, Lassard's talking about how he got shot and wants to recover and go break the fight record. Yeah, only in the fucking LNH and List Today, folks.
shot 8 times, but he's rehabbing because he's got to get to his 500th fight.
Yeah, that's what it was. He wants to get Yannick his 500th
Lassard,
fight.
Yannick Lassard was in the Chiefs back then, too, when that Chiefs movie came out. He was on the Chiefs that year.
Yes, he was. That shows you how long he's been around. Holy fuck.
Yeah. Lassard is a bad dude, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that Vice show, that one was good, too. Yeah. It's like a quick little 15-minute deal. I just watched that the other night, actually. It's like 10 or 15 minutes or something. But, yeah, it's good.
Yeah, it's definitely just like a little mini doc. I figured I just popped into my brain. I was like, fuck, I forgot about that one. But folks, I think other than that, that is where those are the go tos for some enforcer slash hockey fight cinema there for your viewing pleasure. So there's our recommendations. If you don't like it, I don't know what to tell you. And you know, it is what it is.
Exactly.
But anyways, Darren, I appreciate you for coming on the show. Always a pleasure. For once, I actually had you on instead of me going on your show. So, you know, maybe the folks will actually enjoy an episode or two from the Five for Fighting show for once.
Well, I'm just glad you're getting out some content. You know, your quarterly a year, you know, about 4 or 5 episodes a year. So, you know, you're really, really making them count here, bringing in the high end guests for that, once a month show, but
yeah, exactly. Yeah, nothing but the finest quality.
Well, you know, like I said, opinions vary.
Debatable.
So, yeah, but no, it's always fun. I always like coming on these shows, and like I said, I think whatever. We'll talk about. Like I said, I was talking about my idea of a podcast earlier. I think we might actually have to look into that.
Yes, that is definitely something we will have to look into, and. Stay tuned for that, folks. Nothing set in stone, but you know, hey, we're toying around with something in the background here.
Exactly. Yeah. You think the bar was set low with these?
Yeah.
Just wait.
Just you wait. Yeah. Exactly. You thought you were reaching up to touch bottom? Fuck! You haven't even scratched the surface.
Oh no! You have to submerge past it. Yep.
Oh fuck! Well, Darren, thank you so much for coming on the show, man. It's always a pleasure.
Oh, absolutely, man. It was always fun.
Yeah. You have a good one.
For your right to party, you got.